Well, Tracy from North Carolina won the books. That's right. Nick Papagiorgio was in the movie Vegas Vacation. There you go. We'll get the books out to you as promptly as we can, Trace. We'll do that every once in a while. I love doing it on Fridays, too, by the way. Linda Moulton Howe, our special investigative reporter with us, and she's got all kinds of amazing stories, and we'll be back to begin in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Yeah. If you're an animal lover, this is an important story, and let's bring in Linda Moulton Howe, our Emmy Award-winning television producer and investigative reporter. Hey, Linda, I can't believe we're moving into October pretty soon. Wow.
I can't either. 3 months, and we're going to be getting into 2019. God, it's gone
too fast. Too fast.
And the phenomena just keep rolling all of the time. We're now over 500 half-cats, beheaded cats, dismembered cats, reported in England, and on the early morning of September 20th, not too long ago, headlines from the UK from the police proclaimed, quote, Croydon, that's this town south of London where the half cats really started 3 years ago. Croydon cat killer mystery solved by police. Scotland Yard says injuries inflicted on cats were, quote, likely to be the result of predation or scavenging by wildlife on cats killed in vehicle collisions, close quote. I couldn't believe it. Croydon's about 10 miles south of London, and it's where the cat mutilations were first reported in 2015 and then spread out all around the greater London region to now and ongoing as we speak. For people who have been following my cat and other animal mutilation reports in my books, radio, television, Earth Files for the past, it's now four decades, the Scotland Yard press release was preposterous. 2 days later, on September 23rd, 2018, the UK Sunday Express published a contradiction to the police from a veterinarian who had examined some of the mutilated cat bodies. Dane Walker, clinical director of the Streatham Hill Vets in South London, told the Sunday Express reporter James Murray, quote, at Streatham Hill Vets, we have had several of these mutilated cat bodies brought into us. They have all consisted of clean, surgical-type amputations or beheadings. They were not done by foxes or wild animals. It is exceptionally rare for a fox to attack a cat in the first place, and they should not be used as scapegoats for these horrific crimes. In one case, there was a beheading. It was surgical. The wounds were symmetrical, and to me, it looked as if they had been done with a scalpel. I think that the police have been too quick to close the investigation down. That's veterinarian Dane Walker. Well, since 2015 and more than 500 cases in which there have been bodies cut in half, a head surgically and bloodlessly removed, one or more legs or tail, all these are really clean scenes. There's no blood. There have been lots of other animals, rabbits, snakes, a lizard, all found with precise, bloodless surgical excisions. Nothing that could ever be mistaken for wild predator attack or being hit by a car. At the end of my Earth Files report at the web, I have a link to an entire history of half-cat mutilations that I recommend all of you who are Earth Files subscribers go to see the worldwide nature of this and how clean and precise it is and how it has happened in so many countries in both hemispheres. One of the most significant medical contributions was an X-ray taken by veterinarian Sherry Good in Bothell, Washington in 2003. The cat shows in the X-ray that it was cut in half, but Dr. Good discovered that a thin third slice of the cat's middle body had been removed along with every one of the cat's internal organs. Jeez. Now, the leading UK citizens group that has been investigating all of these animal mutilations since 2015 is called SNARL. It stands for South Norwood Animal Rescue and Liberty. That same day that the police announced their official mutilation investigation was ending, SNARL posted at its Facebook this statement, quote, early on in the investigation, 2 years ago, a headless cat was found near his home. The cat's head had been placed upright in the center of a garden. The body was missing the same small piece we have already noted on other victims, close quote. Well, what was the same small piece found in different cat mutilations? On September 21st, I received a phone call from Ian Holling. He's a computer technician in Gloucestershire, England. He has helped me investigate and report about UK animal mutilations for several years. Ian was watching social media for reactions to the UK police announcement about shutting down their official animal mutilation investigation. He had also talked with Jane Galloway in Potter's Bar, England, a few miles north of London, where she had lost her gorgeous large cat named Taz to a bloodless beheading in October of 2017, a year ago. She also knew about a mark on Taz's belly that the police had found on other beheaded cats, but had told her not to, quote, reveal the trademark, close quote. That meant the police never acknowledged the unusual geometric marking on many beheaded cats in their September 20th, 2018 police announcement that it was foxes and car roadkill that were responsible for these unusual cat deaths. Ian reported to me that social media was exploding with anger at the UK police announcement and that he had been able to contact Jane Galloway to ask about the mark on Taz's belly. The following is my interview with Ian on September 22nd that includes comments from another interview September 24th with Jane Galloway about that mark. But first, here is Ian Holling reporting from Gloucestershire, England.
The British public are in disbelief that this has happened. They can't believe that the operation, which has lasted 3 years and cost £500,000 and has been employing police officers over this period, has just come to this conclusion.
Yes, give some examples of what you have seen and heard from the public.
We've had the reaction from the ex-police retired Scotland Yard DCI, and he says, I'm not convinced it's foxes at all. A lot of the people who have taken to social media are owners of the pets that have been killed themselves, so they can't believe it that this has happened. There's an enormous backlash. Some people are starting petitions to try and overturn the police findings, or to try and have an independent study, or to present it to MPs. There's a lot of anger and frustration. I could also talk about the media who carried the story. The BBC TV London News report featured a presenter and a reporter who didn't even seem to believe the story that they were reporting. And at the end, I don't think we've heard the last of this.
Right.
Even Sky TV, the other big broadcasting network in the UK, they also featured excerpts which featured the public's disbelief at the police statements. I have in my hand from SNARL, South Norwood Animal Rescue and Liberty. On their Facebook page, they issued the following statement. We are aware of the notification this morning by the Met Police that they are discontinuing the operation due to new evidence that suggests the injuries to the cats are fox predation, post-road traffic accident or other event. As you can imagine, this morning's announcement has come as a surprise.
It seems that one of the strongest arguments against all of these nonsensical headlines from the UK September 20th is what SNARL itself, the South Norwood Animal Rescue and Liberty neighborhood group that has been doing cat mutilation investigations since 2015, they put out a statement that was on September 21st, the day after all of the UK police headlines showed that SNARL was not on board, the police saying that it was foxes and car and roadkill. In fact, here is a copy of their statement, quote, the cats that have been decapitated have had their heads removed in exactly the same manner and place each time. While we have recovered both head and body, the same small part is missing from each, close quote. That small missing part, known to veterinarians and police investigating the hundreds of mutilated cats since 2015, was found on the belly of a large, bloodlessly mutilated male cat a year ago in October of 2017. The big, beautiful cat was called Taz by his owner, Jane Galloway. Ian Holling was able to put me in touch with Jane this week. She told me that if you measured Taz from nose to end of his tail, he was at least 5 feet long. Jane told me she learned that a small, precise mark cut in Taz's belly has been found on many other mutilated cats in the Greater London region since 2015, a fact that the police have known all along but won't admit, which makes their foxes and cars a cynical lie to get the public and media off their backs. Here is Jane Galloway from Potter's Bar, England, north of London.
It was a complete circle on his stomach around his nipple, bigger than a 5-pence piece, about the size of a dime in America.
So a very perfect circle of skin, only skin deep.
Taken off the top layer, complete round circle.
A perfect dime-sized circle of skin. Remove where one of Taz's nipples had been on his stomach.
Correct.
When you saw this, did you ask a veterinarian specifically to look at this precise circular excision of tissue?
What happened was I was told put him in a forensic bag, and then I was told take him to the vet and have him put on ice, which we did, and then nobody examined him.
Jane said, we were told by police not to tell the media this, but I'm furious that they are using foxes as a scapegoat.
On the decapitated animals, that the same small part has been missing from each, and the police know it, Snarl knows it, and Jane Galloway, who had her cat decapitated, leaving this mark on its stomach. So this shows that the police headlines are false.
Yes, the police headlines, they seem to want to wrap it all up and put it down to foxes predating on roadkill. What we've heard, for example, the Streatham Vets, that's Streatham Hill Vets, which is a district of London, and they say, Streatham Hill Vets, we have had several of these bodies brought into us. They have all consisted of clean surgical-type amputations or beheadings. They were not done by foxes or wild animals.
And that is a quote from a veterinarian. Why would the UK police put out such phony headlines?
It doesn't make sense. The vets have independently carried out these investigations, separate postmortems. But here's what the vets conclude with. They say, we're afraid that our combined significant veterinary experience is going to have to differ with the pathologist on this case.
And they are talking about a police pathologist who is saying that they have found fox DNA on some of these 28 bodies that the police have investigated.
The police even say the veterinary pathologist who carried out the original postmortems conducted re-examinations on the 6 bodies in August 2018. He found puncture wounds not found previously on some of the animals and concluded that some had been potentially scavenged. Well, the question is, if there were puncture wounds, why were they not found on the first examination?
How many months between the gathering of the mutilated bodies and the police taking these old bodies to the pathologist to make this conclusion that there were puncture marks from foxes?
Yes, and the police do say that they have closed circuit TV, 3 instances where CCTV was obtained, footage showed foxes carrying bodies or body parts of cats.
Where is that CCTV video from the police showing the fox carrying a half cat or a beheaded cat or a cat that has its leg severed? Where is that footage?
We haven't seen any of that footage. And what's more, Snarl asked on their Facebook page, and Snarl said that they have not been shown the footage either.
So the disconnect between a police operation to put out headlines on September 20th, 2018, seems to me to be, we want to get these headlines off of the UK papers. We want people to stop reporting about this. And we want an explanation that will make headlines so that 90% of people will go away, while the phenomenon is continuing.
Yes, it is continuing. And it was at such a rate when in 2017, I believe about 250 of the cases, of the 500 cases that Snarl are saying were attributed to UK small animal killer. 250 of those cases occurred during 2017, and you can see we're up to 500 already, and we're just in September 2018.
And you're making the point, tremendous numbers of bloodless, cut in half, headless, legs dismembered, a mark on stomachs that is the same from beheaded animal to beheaded animal, including foxes have been mutilated. And that means that this is like a charade. While the small animal and large animal mutilation phenomena continues around the world, as we speak on September 22nd, 2018, in both hemispheres, the mutilations do not stop because authorities, including the UK police, decide they're going to get the public and the media off their back with headlines that make no sense.
What a strange story, Linda.
Well, and today, Friday, September 28th, change.org, they have an online petition now in London, and it is to have the police open back up their animal mutilation investigation, and they already have nearly 30,000 signatures, having been up for only about 2 days. And you can, anybody can go to change.org, Metropolitan Police Croydon Cat Killer, and that's where they are signing up signatures. And another vet at Grove Lodge Veterinary Group is speaking out against the UK police closing down their mutilation investigation because they said, we have sadly had to examine a number of these animals, and we feel professionally that they have not been killed by foxes or other wild animals. The wounds are very clean and clinical and consistent with human intervention, meaning like with an instrument like a scalpel. And I have at earthfiles.com the report that goes with this first half hour on Coast Tonight, the phone numbers and the Facebooks and the email connections to SNARL and to the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. They want to hear from people, and they are really trying to say, people get on that petition to let the police know that they can't get away with floating headlines when behind the scenes they know that it is as strange as this report to you all tonight.
I mean, this could be alien, right?
I personally think that it is related to an alien intelligence without question after 40 years of investigating large animals and small animals in both hemispheres. I've been all over. And as far as sheriffs are concerned, deputies are concerned, CIA, NSA, DIA, NRO, whistleblowers, we're dealing with an alien intelligence that is extracting genetic material, tissue, fluids all over this planet whenever it wants. But how do you prove it when the governments of the world are terrified in letting the human family know this truth, and keeping everybody in the dark doesn't change anything, just like the police in London. Saying that something doesn't exist doesn't change what it does. We would be better off and stronger as an entire planet if we were just all told the truth.
Something we may never find, Linda. We need people like you to dig for the truth. That's probably the only way we're going to get answers.
Well, I'm going to keep going as long as I can.
Don't give up. Linda's website, earthfiles at earthfiles.com. Up next, a very terrifying story when you hear Linda get into it, of the closure of the National Solar Observatory in New Mexico. What happened there? What was it? Linda went to investigate, and she uncovered some things that may shock some of you, may shock the rest of you. And we'll get it when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email me at george@coasttocoastam.com anytime you want. And welcome back to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe with us with a very bizarre story. Linda, is the observatory open or closed at this point?
Well, the main observatory is apparently open, but it's a very complex story, as you will hear.
Oh, my God. Closed originally for what they said was a security breach. Who knows what happened, but you do. Go ahead.
There's lots of layers to this. And sort of like the September 20th, 2018 headlines from the UK, with the phony story that foxes and roadkill are the police explanation for more than 500 cat and other bloodless mutilations in the greater London region. There is this breaking news headline from September 19th to the 20th that also seems suspect of authorities trying to get the media and the public off their backs by putting out false stories. Now, the second suspicious headline was that they seemed to suspect that authorities were trying to get the media to take seriously this headline: sunspot observatory closure caused by child pornography investigation. When I saw this headline, my first instinct was get in touch with a couple of people that I know. I've done a lot of research on things related to legal matters. And back on September 6th, right at the beginning of this whole story, the Federal Bureau of Investigation had closed the National Solar Observatory down, and they had evacuated. This is very important to keep in your minds for this story. The FBI on September 6th came in and they evacuated all personnel and local residents in the observatory without a single explanation. They put yellow caution tape at the observatory entrance. Windows in houses and dormitories were all boarded up with wood. This was confirmed by people who went up there with drones. Day after day, for two full weeks, no one in the media or even the local Otero County Sheriff's Office could get a single answer from the FBI or from the management of the observatory. 9 days later, on Monday, September 17th, in spite of still looking like a ghost town with boarded up houses, no people at all anywhere, the manager of the observatory, the Association of Universities for Research in Astronomy, known as ORA, they announced in a press release that the National Solar Observatory in Sunspot, New Mexico, would reopen. Now, ORA said residents and observatory employees were to return after, and this is a quote from their press release, an investigation had been conducted by the FBI of criminal activity that had occurred at the Sacramento Peak Observatory, close quote. For people who might not understand, Sacramento Peak is at 9,200 feet up, right above White Sands and Holloman Air Force Base. If you go to my news website, Earth Files, and you look at the story update on the Sunspot Solar Observatory, silent FBI, odd child porn charges, and angry sheriff, I have maps that can give you an orientation about how pivotal the location of this observatory is to those highly classified, highly national security White Sands and Holloman Air Force Base. Okay, now, 2 days after the so-called September 17th reopening, on September 19th at around 4:30 p.m., I called Otero County Sheriff Benny House to ask him if he knew what the criminal activity was that the FBI was allegedly investigating, and he said the FBI had not told him anything about the child pornography charge that was making some of the news, and that eventually I and others, I have the warrants. I have the search and seizure warrants. And they specify details about a janitor and about child pornography. But why this is so weird is that the sheriff has never once, up to this day, I was checking today, he's never been told anything by the FBI about the child pornography charge. And Sheriff House, in discussion with me at the end of last week, said on the phone that he confirmed that he had told a TV station that he thought the FBI secrecy was chicken, S-H-I-T, to keep him and his department from knowing what alleged criminal activities the FBI was investigating. Now, we're going to start with Sheriff Benny House talking from his office in Alamogordo, New Mexico, now.
I did say that it was chicken shit.
What is this criminal investigation?
We don't know. We're not involved in the criminal investigation. All we know is that there was an FBI agent, at least one, on scene prior to our arrival. What their role was for even being up there, you know, I'm not qualified to speak on that. All I know is that a confirmed threat was identified and was put out, but nobody would even identify the threat.
Sheriff, wouldn't you expect that you would be told what the threat would be in that National Solar Observatory?
Yes. And that's what upsets me. There's criminal investigations going on all over the county at any given time. If FBI need our help, we'll help them. But what the investigation was, I have no idea. The threat is the portion that disturbed me because the New Mexico FBI office weren't communicating that to us, which put people's safety at risk because they would be responding to an unknown threat. Just a bad deal all the way around.
Well, Sheriff, there are email rumors that have ranged from a bomb threat by a disgruntled employee to a Chinese spy who hacked into the observatory's computers to spy on White Sands Missile Range and Holloman Air Force Base, to even a huge spacecraft arrived at the sun to protect Earth from a massive solar flare. Do you have any information about what the confirmed threat is?
No. We're going to be the first ones on scene, and we need to know what we're getting into. They asked for our help, and then when we got there, they wouldn't tell us what they wanted help with, other they wanted us to stand by. And you don't ask for a standby unless you feel like there's a threat or a potential threat. The FBI would not even tell us why. They were very tight-lipped over it. I'm sure they've taken direction from the AURA group. But it's disturbing to me that we weren't told anything. Now, for what it's worth, this morning I was contacted by the SAC, who runs the New Mexico FBI office, and he told me he heard some of my statements, and he assured me that he's going to look into it and see if FBI followed their protocol, and we're going to meet up sometime next week and see what both sides can do better in the future.
The very next day, on September 20th, 2018, after talking with Sheriff House, who still knew nothing from the FBI, there was a shocking headline by KTSM TV Channel 9 in El Paso, Texas. Quote, a federal search warrant reveals that Sunspot Solar Observatory was shut down as FBI agents conducted computer forensic searches for child pornography. The source of child pornography was traced to an IP address used at the observatory, and a source within the building observed a computer with not good images on it, close quote. The federal court documents state that Wi-Fi and a personal laptop in the National Solar Observatory were used to download child pornography. I called the sheriff again, and he still had not been told anything about even the child pornography threat. I asked historian and author Peter Lavenda, renowned for his book Sinister Forces, what he thought of such a child pornography charge 2 weeks after the National Solar Observatory had been closed down by the FBI. Peter emailed back, quote, child pornography files can be hidden on any computer by an outside agency to discredit a target. It is the worst kind of evidence that can be planted and the most difficult to refute. This is the thing, though. You don't evacuate a building due to child pornography. Child pornography does not explode. It doesn't send out spores that attack the nervous system. And since when do you remove possible suspects from a crime scene, such as the observatory staff, without having them sequestered so they cannot compare stories? We have to assume that in a case of child porn, anyone who was at the observatory had to be a possible suspect as a co-conspirator. And why would you not be forthcoming about a child porn case with the local authorities such as the sheriff? If the janitor was disseminating child porn through the observatory's internet system, then why close down the post office? Why tape off the entire observatory site? According to the FBI, the janitor became alarmed when he could not find his laptop, which evidently was taken by the FBI. Yet the janitor has not been arrested. There have been no charges against him so far. There has to be more to this story, or a different story altogether, close quote. Now, today, on September 27th, the child pornography explanation has holes and contradictions. Recently, I checked in with El Paso ABC affiliate WVIA-TV's investigative reporter, Christina Aguayo, for her perspective on why the sheriff would be kept in the dark by the FBI, and her perspective now on the child pornography charge. Here from El Paso, Texas, is reporter Christina Aguayo.
So they've nailed down a laptop. They've nailed down the person that it allegedly belongs to. So they have all of that information. If it's child pornography, why would they have to evacuate an entire observatory, even the post office? Why the need to evacuate for 10 days? When the investigative team was up there, Daniel Fuentes and myself, we were searching around and we found what we thought was a back entrance to Sunspot. Well, actually, it was the entrance to Apache Observatory, which sits directly next to Sunspot. And when we went up there, we found 3 to 4 people who were working there. They were not evacuated. So if this suspect posed such a threat, why weren't they evacuated as well? But they say there's no longer a threat, right? In this statement, they say there's no further risk to staff and residents. Does this mean he's been caught? And if he's been caught, where's the arrest record? Where are they housing him? If he hasn't been caught, then why didn't they arrest him? And does that mean he's on the loose? Are they looking for him? Is that why there was a helicopter there on the first day of the closure?
It's really weird, Christina.
Extremely weird. And you know, when I went out there, it was also weird when I spoke with the security people they hired to watch over. Even they had questions of, well, why were we hired only 3 days before opening? And if we were only here to take care of possible looting, well, when we were up there the first and second time, there wasn't a soul up there. And if the security team was hired to prevent people from looting the empty residents that were up there, why did they wait till 3 days before they opened? And why are they contracted out another 2 weeks after that? And even speaking with some employees in the area, they were saying, we were told to say we're happy to be back. And that struck me as weird. Instead of, we were told we can't comment, or something to that effect, we were told to say we're happy to be back. And I thought, wow, I can't believe you're actually saying that to me.
There were boards on windows of houses and dormitories.
Well, what happened to the threat? What happened to it? Because I don't see an arrest record. I don't see a name in the paper. I don't see anything. There's too many questions that still need to be answered for this to just go away quietly.
And do you know how that other station in El Paso got these United States search and seizure warrants?
You know, I'm not exactly sure.
It's almost as if there was a plant
to provide them with documents rather than us.
Yeah, like there's got to be a reason why that station got these warrants.
Another question.
It is such a strange story, and it has come down to where reporters are having to talk with reporters because there is nobody in authority who has either information or is going on the record.
Or even returning any phone calls, emails. And the only reason that Frank Fisher responded to me from the FBI is because I told him what Sheriff Benny House told me after I presented Sheriff House with the statements from Laura. And I asked him, I said, well, do you want to respond to what Sheriff House is saying? And that's when I finally received that call back, and he said, refer to that statement, and hung up the phone on me.
And can you repeat what it was that Otero County Sheriff Benny House said to you?
He said he thought the FBI was chicken bleep.
Yes.
And they mishandled the entire investigation, that they put him in a bad way, because they didn't inform him of any potentially dangerous suspect. that was either on the loose or was up on the Sacramento Peak, that they're impeding on his ability to protect his citizens and also protect the lives of his officers, since they are the ones that have to investigate. Say they go up to Sunspot themselves and they encounter something that they're not ready for or not expecting. He wasn't informed of any type of potentially dangerous threat.
And I talk with Sheriff House on Friday, the 21st, and he still had never had any content notification from the FBI about child pornography, not stolen computer equipment, not the possibility of a spy. He had been told nothing. Why do you think there would be that kind of disconnect between the Federal Bureau of Investigation closing down the National Solar Observatory and the sheriff of that county?
You know, my first thought is that it's something greater going on. It's something of a higher magnitude that maybe has to have higher security clearances. And I don't believe that the FBI would knowingly have a potentially dangerous suspect on the loose that could harm people and not inform local law enforcement. So I just feel that it might be a bigger issue than this potentially dangerous suspect. And it might be something that they do want to keep secret, that they do want to keep under wraps, something that none of us know is going on and that they feel for security reasons they need to keep in-house.
And Christina, what you're implying is that child pornography would be used as a cover for something else that we still don't know anything about.
Well, it is a question. That is a question.
And George, the answer may be something I received today in an email. The problem at the observatory is organizational. White Sands and Holloman Air Force Base are Department of Defense assets and under DOD control. The observatory is not, and that independence produced a national security breach. China operatives penetrated the observatory and were using it as a listening station on naval projects at White Sands.
What a bizarre story. More with Linda Moulton Howe next.